Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
I'm going to preach a message to you tonight called Spiritual Growth. Hallelujah. We're in a season, you know, it's clearly no longer summer clothes weather. Praise the Lord. Maybe it might change, I don't know. But I saw some trees today with some leaves that looked suspicious. It looked very sus. We're not gonna say what's gonna happen, but we all know what's gonna happen. But you know, my friend in the front row with the turtleneck reminded me, hallelujah, of a sudden impending future, amen? But praise God, I'm still dressed for summer, and yes, I'm cold, hallelujah. Ephesians 4 and 8, are you there? All right, it says, that is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led crowds of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So the responsibility of the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher is to build up the church. Who the church?
The church.
Come on, say, I the church. Or I am the church. You are the church. You are the church. So our jobs, as Dr. Morocco says, is to get you doing something for Jesus, you lazy thing you. Praise the Lord. That's Dr. Morocco, not me. I didn't say that. Verse 13, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature. Come on, say with me, mature. In the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Christ has standards. He has standards. And he asks us and requires of us to measure up to his standards. Amen? Then, why is that? Because when you measure up to his standards, verse 14, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when the people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. Come on, let's take a moment to pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing tonight, that your word would come, Lord, and destroy every stronghold, every thought, every vain imagination that opposes the knowledge of God. Let it be cast down now. And as your word goes forth, let life go forth. Let your blessing go forth. Let your goodness go forth, that you would be glorified in our lives and that we would measure up to the standard of Christ Jesus and be able to be mature and thereby leading others as we lead ourselves to the presence and in the power of God in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. So Paul here is talking about, and before I start, I just want to thank Pastor Daniel, Pastor Karen for entrusting us. You know, again, how many of you guys love our pastors? Amen. I have a deep appreciation for our pastor. You know, all that he's done and his fervor. And you know, I don't think I've ever seen a day when he's, you know, feeling down, and when he is, you know, he's like, and then he's like, he does, you know, praise and prophesies and just, you know, blessed us out of the, I've learned a lot from that. Amen. So I'm thankful for our pastors and this church. I love all of you guys, love all the staff. Amen. I got my ministers from Eagle River here on the front row. So proud of you guys. You know, God's doing so many great things. Let me tell you, why are we talking about spiritual growth? Because we're about to re-engage as, you know, a certain season is coming to a certain, you know, close. and re-engage in ministry, re-engage in the things of God. And I'm telling you, if you will grow and mature spiritually, God is going to take you just like he took me, just like he took each person here, you know, our ministers in Eagle River and many of our people here, you know, out of nowhere and set us high among nobles, leading others, leading, you know, great many people to the Lord. That is the purpose for our lives. Amen? Can I get a better amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So Paul is talking about growing and maturing, becoming a mature spiritual person, no more children. How many know an adult that acts like a child? Don't raise your hand. How many of you are that? No, just kidding. He's not talking about physical growth, but spiritual growth. And God wants you to grow. We are meant to grow. Every church is meant to grow. Every person is meant to grow. It is very weird when you see a baby and then 3 years later you see the baby and it's still a baby. It's like, oh, that'd be awkward. So God actually designed us to grow. When the garden, he says, be fruitful and so every single one of us in every area of our lives ought to be fruitful, be fruitfully and multiply fruitfully. That's a new word. Praise the Lord. Just as a baby grows into an adult, we ought to be growing in spiritual maturity as well. Let me just start over. Just as a baby grows into an adult, as Christians, you ought to be growing spiritually mature as well. And there's a similarity between physical growth and spiritual growth. There are three stages that the Bible talks about. One is babyhood, childhood, and adulthood. In 1 Peter 2:2, he says, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow. Come on, say with me, grow. Into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. So he's saying that every single one of us, when you're a new believer, you ought to be crying out to grow, to become strong, to become an adult, to become mature in the Lord. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 13:11, it says in the Amplified Version, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. So as we grow, there's things that the children did that we don't do anymore. It's very awkward when grown men act like children. Like laughing at inappropriate times. I mean, you don't want to take yourself too serious, amen? The Bible says, you know, cast your cares upon the Lord because he's going to take care of you. Amen. Be careful for nothing. So in your worries, you should always, you know, be like a child in the presence of the Lord. Amen. But as you deal with people, you need to be grown up. We got one amen in the corner over there. Praise the Lord, sister. Thank you. So we are born as babies. How many were born as babies? All right. Some of you just like God was like, poof, created you. We're born as babies, both naturally, but also spiritually. And it's required that we all grow. Something's wrong if you're not growing. If you haven't matured, if you've been in the church 20, 30 years, and you still have the same prayer request, something's wrong. If you can't lead yourself in the things of God, man, I can't pray. You've been a Christian 30 years and you can't fast. My goodness. It's spiritual immaturity. Come on, I'm smiling. Smile back. I'm not mad. My eyebrows, you know, tend to look, sometimes I look mad, but I'm not mad. I seared them at the women's encounter, praise the Lord. I started the fire and literally there's a picture and the fire's of, and but he just trimmed my eyebrows, praise the Lord. Literally. So in Ephesians, Paul talks about spiritually growing out of babyhood that we may no longer be children, but also how to reach the adult stage, maturity or growing up. I'm telling you, some of you here, you're going to grow up this year. This is the year where you're going to mature spiritually, where the battles that you've been struggling with, it's not going to be a struggle anymore. You're going to run through troops. You're going to jump over walls. You're going to have victory. That depression is not going to take you down anymore. This winter is going to be the best winter of your life because you are maturing in the things of God. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. And in these areas of growth, the same characteristics that apply to physical growth apply to spiritual growth. You need to locate yourself where you are in your spiritual walk. There's a problem because a lot of people, because, you know, my man, I go to King's Wasilla. Do you know who I am? The church on the hill with the chandeliers and the massive auditorium and the carpet with no stains. Praise Jesus. Oh. So you may think you're higher than you actually are, and a lot of Christians do. I read a book, so now, like, you know, now you want to tell the pastor what to do because you read a book. In Romans 12:3 says, "For by the grace of God given to me, I say to every one of you to not think more highly of himself and of his importance and ability than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment." Come on, say with me, sound judgment. "As God has apportioned to each a degree of faith and purpose designed for service," and a purpose designed for service. So God's given you faith and he's given you a purpose. When people say, like, you know, I don't know what my purpose is, that's because you're not doing anything for God. Because if you begin to do something for God, the Bible says that the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Hallelujah. He will direct your paths. Proverbs 3:5 says, "In all your ways acknowledge the Lord, and he will strengthen your paths." He will direct your paths. In Isaiah 40, he says that every mountain will be made low. Every valley will be exalted. Every crooked path will be straightened for you. When you serve God, when you mature spiritually, when you're walking in the fear and admonition of the Lord, not just coming to church, but pressing in, not coming to prayer and just sitting there as like, you know, man, why isn't God touching me? Because you're not entering to his presence. You're not growing maturely, but the good news is you can. The good news is all of us can. If you will seek after the Lord, if you will touch the hem of his garden, Pastor Daniel says, hallelujah, you got to get your own baptism. What does that mean? That means, like, what are you yearning for? What are you desiring for? What breakthrough do you want in your life? You yourself got to fight for that thing. Because I can pray for you. But let me tell you, ain't nobody ever going to pray for you like you can pray for yourself. Amen? And I'll say this, you will never have greater breakthrough than when you are praying yourself for yourself in your own life. Hallelujah. Can I get a better amen? Because God wants to get to you what he can get through you. Hallelujah. So the first thing about a baby that we love is what? So we're called, let's back up a little bit. We're called to what? To grow. But in order to grow, you have to realize where you are. You know, and this, the GPS, how many of you guys ever used the GPS? What does a GPS give you? It gives you the trajectory to your destination. Come on, say to me, destination. Right? And then when you hit start, where does it go? It goes right to where you are. Because if you don't know where you are, you can't get to where you're going. And so spiritually, you need to understand where you are. Hallelujah. I'm a pastor. Amen. I'm a pastor on this staff. It's a miracle that I'm even alive. It's a miracle that my wife is an amazing woman of God, an amazing pastor. She co-pastors with me down in Eagle River. I love her so much. She's awesome. My kids are awesome. We are so blessed. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle because we came into this church 10 years ago. You know, we were broken. I wanted to, you know, it was sad. It was a sad story. Come on, say, oh. Yeah, it was that bad. And so, but as we began to seek the Lord, as we began to pray and the preaching of the word, Pastor Daniel in the Lucille Street, you know, he was preaching, just, you know, Austin and Jen Jones are here. Love you guys, Pastor Austin, you know, Pastor Jen. They're the ones who got us here to this church. Because I had a plan to backslide and, like, you know, do my own thing. And then, you know, we moved out to the valley and Jen had invited Rosie to come to prayer. Oh, that church prays. And, you know, Pastor Rosie's a woman of prayer. And so she started coming to prayer and she started telling me about the church. And then I got invited, it came, and you know, and we sat kind of by them in the first time I came. As I'm leaving, I'm like, I never want to do anything with ministry again. Right? As I'm leaving the sanctuary there at Lucille, we're coming out. Pastor Daniel's in the lobby. He likes, you know, greeting everybody, you know, and Pastor Austin is walking with me and is like, hey, Pastor, this is my friend Gil. He's got papers, which means I was credentialed. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do this. But anyway, I love you guys and I'm so thankful for your lives and for, you know, really bringing us here, and it really saved us. Praise God. But, you know, he was preaching, Pastor Daniel, and he was like, I had a friend. And he was like, you know, sweaty. And it's like super intense. And I think he was on top of a speaker or something in the corner, you know, and he's like, you know, and I was a friend. And he used to be in ministry, check. And he stopped serving God, check. And then he started smoking, like, well, that was my plan. Then he started drinking. That was my third plan. I was like, then he stopped. Then his family was destroyed. Then he started using drugs. And then he died. And probably went to hell. I was like, whoa. My heart was like, boom, 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 boom. I'm like, that's me. And now you can go back to 2014 on YouTube. And the very first, I think, video is Minister Micah preaching. And it's the message of the basket. And so, but I never found that message. But I don't know if I had a vision or whatever it was. But that night, I'm like, you know, I was too religious to repent in the morning service. So I came back at night and repented at night and rededicated my life to the Lord. Come on, say with me, growing spiritually. And then from that place on, it's been a trajectory of growing in the things of God. You know, and I remember, you know, driving back, I became an usher, you know, and then I started serving. And I used to be like, man, I'm just an usher. You know, when's God's going to do what he said he's going to do in my life? When's the promise of God going to happen? And I'm driving right by this church. I used to live right here behind Whispering Woods, Naomi Drive, Naomi Ave. And, you know, we all extended our hands and be like, you know, grace, grace, praise the Lord, grace, grace, built the building. Here we are. And, but it was just the barn at that time. And I was driving there. I'm like, God, when is it going to happen? Like, when am I going to be awesome? Like, you know, and the Lord says, why don't you just do what you're doing right now and forget about the future? Why don't you start where you are? Because I can't use you for anything. You're useless. I was useless in the ministry. I was useless to lead anybody to victory because myself couldn't lead myself into victory. And so I needed to get healing. I needed to get breakthrough for myself in order to lead anybody else to victory. And if you think you're a leader, but nobody's following you, you're not a leader. Amen. And so, you know, if you think you're a spiritual leader and nobody's getting breakthrough through your ministry, come on, smile at me. You're really not as great as you think you are. And we just read in Romans 12 that you ought to assess your life, not like, you know, like, man, I'm nothing. No, you're somebody. Jesus died for you. You have value. You have purpose. God called you. Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter who you are. If you will repent of sin and turn to the Lord, he'll take you and make you a great man, a great woman of God with great purpose and great joy and great blessing in your life. But you gotta do the journey. The first thing about a baby that we love is what? They're innocent. Sweet little thing. Oh, ain't they sweet? And even grown man, even grown bearded man will walk by a baby and be like, oh, men don't talk like that. Hallelujah. The baby soiled their britches and we're like, oh, so sweet, healthy baby. No one ever thinks of a newborn baby's past. You never see a baby in the, you know, you go visit somebody in the hospital. They just had a baby. Like, I wonder whom they killed. How many folks did they rip off? Like, I'm going to watch out for you, baby. Nobody does that. Why is that? Because a baby has no past, right? How many times have they lied? Maybe they're crying. They're just lying. No, they're not. They're innocent. They're true, right? How many times have they stolen? My man, hold on to your purse. That newborn baby. Babies don't have a past. Come on, say to me, babies don't have a past. And in the mind of God, a newborn baby believer, you don't have a past either. When you are born again, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your past, you don't have a past. You become a brand new creation. All of your past is gone, just like a newborn baby physically does not have a past. And perhaps in the natural world, you do. And sometimes the price of previous actions are still costing you something. Right? It's like, man, I love Jesus. Why do I have so much trouble? Because he used to be an idiot. But your soul's redeemed, your spirit is born again, and now you got to walk it out. Come on, say with me, walk it out. In the sight of God, Isaiah 43, 25 says, I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake and will never think of them again. So we're supposed to think like God. And in the eyes of God, when you become a believer, you have no sins. You are born again. You are perfect. You received the imputed righteousness of God. Hallelujah. You're going to remember your past, but God doesn't. And we're supposed to think like God thinks. And you may have been as mean as the devil before you got saved, but once you get saved, you're full of joy. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. No matter how you live, when you become born again in Christ Jesus, you are no person with no past. Come on, say with me, no past. God looks at you like a newborn baby. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, and I remember Pastor Daniel preaching, and he would like, you know, again, like sweaty and like, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm like, yes. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him in faith in him as Savior, he is a new creature. Reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition have passed away. Behold, new things have come because a spiritual awakening brings a new life. That's in the Amplified Version. When you are born again, you are a new person. You are brand new. Praise the Lord. Understand, despite that, you may still be paying a penalty for your natural life, but you are cleansed on the inside. And a lot of people get frustrated because, you know, they think like, who I used to be, how can God do anything with me? And a lot of people won't rise up in leadership. They're even afraid to talk to the pastor because, you know, they're not worthy. I'm telling you here, you're worthy. If you're a newborn believer, you are worthy. That our pastors, man, they understand that all of our pastors, all of our staff here understand. Nobody's judging you. Nobody's going to turn you back. We're going to help you grow into mighty men, mighty women of God. So begin that journey. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, it's time to grow up. It's time to mature in the things of God. Hallelujah. Romans 8:13 says, for it is, if you are living according to the impulses of the flesh, you are going to die. But if you are living by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death the sinful deeds of the body. You will really live forever. When you are led by the Spirit of God, you will really live together. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead abides on the inside of us and will quicken your mortal body. Come on, say with me, quicken. That means give life to your mortal body. So when you are a believer, you have life. You have supernatural life. How is it that a man, how is it that a woman that once was bombing crack and living on the streets and had nothing, become a great leader, become great people because they have entered into the presence of the Lord and they have renewed their spirit, the spirit renewed, and in their spirit, the renewal of their spirit, they have sought the Lord. They have matured spiritually. And then when you mature spiritually and you're continuing that, not giving into the flesh, not doing the deeds of the flesh which cause death. And so many people get tired. Like, where's my breakthrough coming? Where's my breakthrough coming? You're walking in breakthrough, genius. But you have a higher opinion of yourself that you ought. So find yourself again, humble yourself, and walk it out. And then God will begin to build you up. God will begin to strengthen you. God will begin to give you life and life more abundantly. And as you seek the Lord in that, your outward condition will begin to affect your outward condition. You will live forever, for all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. That word really live means live, breathe, be among the living. So, you know, if you're going to grow up spiritually, you need to be in church. You need to be in a life group. You need to be part of a team. Well, I don't feel comfortable about people. That's your problem. It's not that people are bad. It's just that your people picker is bad. Is that the friends that you pick are terrible people. And then you look at Pastor Tammy and you're like, I don't know if I can trust her. That was me when Scott Quire, Pastor Tammy's husband, came and talked to me. Come on, let's get the camera on her. No, it's kidding. She's like turning red. I love Pastor Tammy. The first life group we ever went to was at the choir's house. And I remember Scott came to me and was like, hey, you want to go to, I got a life group at my house. You want to go? It's on Monday nights. And I was like, bro, I don't know you. And he had a Patriots sweatshirt. Come on, Scott, my man. Winners. We're winners. Hallelujah. And he had a Patriots sweatshirt, which is, you know, I grew up in Massachusetts. You can't choose where you were born, where, you know, your parents took you. So it just, that's it. Sorry. You know, I'm not going to apologize for it. You know, but anyway. But then he has cowboy boots. People don't wear cowboy boots in Massachusetts. And so I'm like, I don't know if I can trust this guy. So I'm like, hey, Pastor Daniel, this dude, like, with the sweatshirt and cowboy jeans asked me if your boots want to be. And he's like, oh, yeah, go. It's great. And I'm telling you, the greatest breakthrough of my life came going to the choir's house as they welcomed us in. I love you guys, and I love, you know, all that they did. And God has done great things in our lives, and in so many hundreds of people are being impacted by they opening their hearts up. I'm telling you, you think, well, you know, I don't know how to speak or whatever. You open yourself up to lead a life group. You could be changing somebody's life. You could be changing the entire trajectory of an entire family. Hallelujah. That's really living with people. That's why our mission is experience life with people, power, and purpose. I had somebody come to Eagle River during the annual business meeting, and they wanted to vote, but they hadn't been in church in many years. I'm like, I haven't seen you in a while, but, you know, so what's up? And they're like, well, you know, I was going to another church, and then, you know, the Lord spoke to me to not go to church for 1 year. Whoop, 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 whoop. How many of you know it wasn't God that told you not to go to church? Because the Bible, come on, let it be the Bible. The Bible says, do not forsake the gathering of yourself, as is the custom of some. And so you're like, bro, it wasn't God. You can't vote. But anyway, if you're here next year, then you can vote. But, and, you know, I've never seen them again. But let me tell you, God is good, and he's designed you to be with people. Hallelujah. And if you will get together with our staff, they will help you. If you have a bad people friend picker, if you will get with our staff, we will help you have good friends. And all of our life group leaders are good friends. Hallelujah. And that's how you're going to really live, to enjoy real life. And it says that really live means active, blessed, endless in the kingdom of God. When you are a Christian, when you're living for God, you are blessed. You don't lack in anything. You don't, you know, you're not suffering with things. You are walking in victory to victory to victory to victory. Sickness, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24 that by his stripes we were healed. Right? If we were healed, does that mean we are healed? Yes, it does. So if you're a Christian, you're healed. Why can't I receive my healing? Because you just confessed it right now. You can't. If the Bible says you is, you need to be sent. If you was, you is. If I was born in my father's house, I'm still his son. And so you confess, instead of confessing what your circumstance, confess what the word says. And as you confess what the word says, though the night may tarry, joy will come in the morning. And I'm telling you, you will be blessed. You will see breakthrough in every area of your life. Hallelujah. And as you live for God and mature, you grow up spiritually. The outside life will be engulfed by the inside life. It doesn't happen without perseverance, though. Spiritually, the outside life will be engulfed by the inside life, and you'll begin to see true transformation. I remember, you know, just sitting with Pastor Daniel in a plow truck, and we're just talking, and we had like a 5, maybe 10 minute conversation, and he said something to me that impacted my life. He says, "But I have no crash and burn." I'm like, "What?" He says, "I have no crash and burn in me." How many of you ever crash and burn? I was a habitual crash and burn. When something got too hard, I was like, I literally started preaching one time, full church, not as big as this, but full church. And like 10 minutes in, I was like, "I'm done. Here you go. Crash and burn." Literally. But Pastor Janet says, "I have no crash and burn." I'm like, "You know what? I don't have crash and burn. Come on with me. I don't have crash and burn." If you had crash and burn up until this night, I prophesy over you tonight, you will not crash and burn in anything you do from this day forward. Receive it now in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The more faithful you are to who you truly are, the born-again believer, not your circumstantial physical place, the more your outward reality will be transformed to match what is going on in inside, where you are a perfect baby, a new, sinless, with no past before the Lord. Did he say sinless? Yes. What do you think it means when you're cleansed of your sins? Now, if you're still practicing sin, you were never cleansed of sin, so you need to get saved. Hallelujah. Because a lot of people excuse, you know, struggles for like, "I don't really want to get saved. I like the vibes at church. And I like the benefit, you know, that I get." But, you know, you never really entered in. Come on, I'm smiling at you. If you're broke on the inside, you'll be broke on the outside. You know, and even when you're born again, you got to renew your thinking, because even though you may be healed and saved and, you know, and like you feel the presence of God, you pray in the Holy Ghost, your outward life may be still a mess. Your garage may be still a mess. Why is that? You got to renew your thinking. You don't have to worry. You don't have to hoard things. God is always going to take care of you. You don't have to save everything in case the catastrophe happens, because in everything, God is going to take care of you. So take it to the dump. Hallelujah. Hey, be free right now from all your junk in Jesus' name. I'm getting rid of my junk. If you're blessed on the inside, you'll be blessed outwardly. If you don't maintain your innocence and your new birth in seeking the Lord, you can fall under condemnation of the devil and be defeated in your spiritual life. New believer is simple and full of faith. You get saved like, "Yes, God is good. Yes, I love Jesus." But then as you get older, you're like, "Well, you know, been there, done that. Oh, I know that face." You're going to lose that face. Come on, say, "I ain't ever going to lose that face." And if you lose that, if you lost that face, you need to go back to where you lost it and pick it up. As people grow older, they tend to have a know-it-all attitude. When you think you know, when you say, "Well, but you know, in my experience, God can't help you." Because the Bible literally says, "According to your faith, be it done unto you." That's what Jesus said. He said, if you abide in me, in Christ, and my words abide in you, you will ask me whatsoever you want, and I will give it to you. Does that sound like a no? No. And then you're led spiritually by the Lord. And you're like, "Lord, give me a mansion. Give me a mansion." It's like, "You cannot pay for the bills. You're not going to be able to afford the utility. Here's an apartment." And then you can feel bad because you don't have a mansion, but you're in the apartment phase. You need to grow into the mansion phase. I used to pray for a truck, and I had a minivan, and I began calling things that were not as if they were. I called my minivan my truck. It's in my truck. I backed into Justin Jones's lifted, bad to the bone Jeep at the barn over there, and it put a dent in my, it was a foggy day, we're going to prayer, I backed into his, you know, super sturdy bumper and put a hole in my gate, and you know, I was cheap back in those days, so I took some epoxy and covered that hole, so Pastor Rosie called it the bubblegum van, but I called it my truck. And I, you know, and oil change was $30. And then, you know, God gave me a truck. You know, as we grew and blessed, you know, like, hey, I got a truck. Now the oil change was $80. Whoa. But you know what? With the blessing comes no pressure and no problem. And then I got a bigger truck, nicer truck, and the oil change was $150. But guess what? With the blessing comes the increase, not a worry. And then I got a bigger truck even, and it's like $300. Like, hey, no problem. Do all that you got to do. Why is that? Because God will strengthen. He will lift you up. As you grow, all things will grow in your life. Hallelujah. If you seek the Lord and if you grow, some of you are stuck. Because He won't renew your thinking. And spiritually, you think you know it all. Like, I know Pastor said that, but if you said that, you're wrong. Because the one with the breakthrough is the man leading the whole house. And Leon is, can I get a better amen? Amen. Is that uncomfortable? Oh. Well, you know, I don't think pastors should do that. Like, who's led an entire thousands of people to breakthrough? Who birthed Eagle River? Yes, the Lord, through the man of God. When you honor the man of God, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your station in life. You know, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter where you come from. You must honor the man of God in your life, the one He's put in your life and He's led you to breakthrough. Trust Him. Trust Him. I trust Him. Hallelujah. I know that God's leading Him and He's going to lead us all to breakthrough. We are one church. We are one man running as one. We're going to take over Anchorage. God is going to raise up. And I'm telling you, perhaps some of you here, God's called you to do greater things, but you're unwilling to move forward. Tonight, that's going to change in Jesus' name. If you think you know it all, you're frozen. Not even God can help you. You know, there are people that won't get baptized because their grandma told them, well, you were baptized in our church. You should stay, you know, that's it. Well, if it was like the Mormon church, that's not baptism. It's a cult. Jesus said, baptize them. If you believe and are baptized, and now baptism is not a sign for salvation, but some people went back, but if you are, if you're not dying on the cross, about to die, and then you get saved, you need to get baptized. Otherwise, you are in disobedience to God. Actually, baptism, Colossians 2, is the circumcision of the new circumcision, not of the flesh, but of the sinful nature. Whoa, hallelujah. Come on with me, hallelujah. Keep your innocence toward God and toward men. And as you do, you'll be able to mature in the things of God. So God is speaking to us because of what God has done for us. The fact that we are children of God. There's nothing that is impossible for you to do through God. I want you to understand that God's called you to a great purpose. That's why this church, this stage, my life, our ministers, our pastors, our staff, and all of these people that I'm like, man, they're so awesome. We are a testament of what God can do with a person who once was broken, who was lost. And if God did it for us, He will do it for you. If I can walk in breakthrough, you can walk in breakthrough. But you gotta seek out and do what I did to get the breakthrough. You got to do it. You got to renew your thinking. Hallelujah. In the Word, in the things of God, spiritually. So many people, we are such an individualistic culture. It's about number one. How many of you like taking care of number one? Don't raise your hand. Yeah, we're all about number one. Yeah, I know they say that, but I want to. No, we are to be one. We are submitted to authority. We are to run, hallelujah, submitted to God first and foremost. And the Bible says, if you can't submit to your pastor, you submit to God. If you can't submit to human authority, don't say you're submitted to God. Because how can you, if you don't love your neighbor, you don't love God. Because how can you say you love someone you can't see, and that's on purpose, if you don't love people who you can't see? The key is to walk in love. We got to walk in love. What does that mean? 1 Corinthians 13. Hallelujah. You guys getting something tonight? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Come on, Wasilla. All you mountain men and mountain women. Love is not rude. And I got a better amen. Does not demand its own way. Well, why we got to do it this way, Pastor Tammy? Love does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. Oh. Punch to the heart. It keeps no record of being wronged. Oh. Remember when he did this? Remember when he did this? Keeps no record of wrong. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Never loses faith. Is always hopeful. Do you have hope? Hallelujah. Receive hope right now in Jesus' name. Things are going to look better. Things are going to get brighter. Hallelujah. And endures through every circumstance. What circumstance? Every. Pastor Fritz, how long have you been on staff? 30 years? 27 years? 25 years. You've endured some things. Pastor Kinsaya was looking on our you know app. He's been on staff 37 years. What other church do you know? And I mean, Pastor Daniel, 20 over 20. Pastor Kirsten, over 20, you know, high 20s. When you see a church that has people that are perseverant, those are people you can trust. You know why I can trust my pastor? You know why I can trust our pastors? Even though, like, sometimes I disagree with them. I may have a differing opinion. I may not like what they said. Like how they look. No, just kidding. You know, it's because I see them pray. And in the clutch, I can come to them. And if I'm having trouble, they're going to lead me through breakthrough. And we lead each other through breakthrough when we are in the clutch of things. Endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in an unknown language and special knowledge or words of knowledge will become useless. But love will last forever. So many people, especially in the prophetic, you know, arena, like, you know, they learn how to hear from God. And like, now I hear from God. Why do I got to listen to a pastor? We get droves. We used to get droves of people in Eagle River. It's like Eagle River, Chugach area. It's like kind of like, you know, the prophetic, you know, thing. And it's like, I'm not knocking the prophetic. We believe in the prophetic. I'm in this church because of a powerful prophetic word. But if you think because you went to the prophetic life group and now you can, you know, you're getting words, for, you know, get words first for yourself. Before you can get somebody through breakthrough, if you're not getting breakthrough, you need to hear God clearer for yourself. You guys all right? Don't worry about what others are going through if you're just a new beginner and you're learning how to hear from God. Hear from God for yourself. You build yourself up in the things of God. And as you begin to mature, naturally God is going to bring people to you so you can lead them to breakthrough. That God's going to do that for you. He's done it for us. He's going to do it for you. Hallelujah. But you got to endure. You got to love. You got to walk in love. And because of what God has done for us, you cannot disqualify yourself. You can't overqualify yourself, but I can't overqualify myself. That preaching to me, this message is for me. Because if we want Eagle River to have greater breakthrough, if we want the staff to have greater breakthrough, if we want the church to grow, to have a greater impact in Eagle River, I need to grow. That's the truth. And I'm after it. I'm in a 21-day water fast. I'm believing God for great breakthrough. Hallelujah. And, you know, I was talking to Dr. Morocco today. Pastor Josh, on the 5th of August, called for a water fast as well, or for 21 days of fasting. So Pastor Daniel, you know, might be talking about that. So why is that? Because we're desperate for breakthrough. I'm desperate for breakthrough. And a lot of times when you begin to see and point the fingers, oh, you're the problem, you're the problem, you're the problem, there's three coming at you, baby. If they're the problem, you're three times more the problem in your own life. Did you know that? That our own attitudes, our own thinking, our own decision hinders us. How many times you looked at somebody and like, man, they don't like me? Shaquille O'Neal. He played basketball with Yao Ming for 3 years on the same. Never talked to him. Because he assumed Yao Ming didn't speak English. Because Yao Ming is Chinese. And one day, like, he knocked, like, he fell over, and Yao Ming was like, you okay, bro? Like, perfect English. And it's like, you speak English? Come on, if you assume, don't assume. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, don't assume. Because when you assume, things, you're usually wrong. That's the saying. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 28, worship team, if you come, please. It says, God has selected for his purpose the insignificant base things of the world and the things that are despised and treated with contempt, even the things that are nothing, so that he might reduce to nothing the things that are. And he's talking that in the things that are, what he's talking about, the world wisdom, the wisdom of the world, the philosophies of the world that are all false. The economy, forget the economy. I mean the economy of the kingdom. It doesn't matter who's the president. It doesn't matter if it's Joe or Kamala, what was, is, and could be again, and will ever be. It doesn't matter who is in office. When you are in Christ, you're in the economy of heaven, and for you, the blessings of God will never stop flowing. It doesn't matter what they say. Doesn't matter. You gotta watch out for doctors. And I love doctors, and so many of them are great. But some of them, you know, they're in the systems of the world, which is controlled by the devil. And they love to get you hooked and into the medical system to make money off of you. I love what Rick Rawls said. He went to the doctor, he's standing there being examined by the doctor, and they're looking at his CAT scan of his brain. You know, this is years ago, and he said that, you know, the doctor's like, you know, looking at his brain, like, you see all these gray spots are, you know, dead zones in your brain. And one side of his brain was like yellow, and then, you know, with gray spots. And he got to the other side of his brain, it was all gray, all dead. And Rick Rawls is having a conversation with the doctor. And the doctor's like, I don't know how you're alive right now. He's like, because of Jesus. And the doctor wanted me to get a sleep study. I'm like, why? I don't need a sleep study. You know why? Because he was part owner of the clinic. And so if he went there for no reason, but just because, you know, the doctor referred him, the doctor would get kickbacks. Same thing with medication. I've witnessed, as I worked in medical field, a doctor would come like, oh, you know, I'm having like, you know, a headache. So here, prescribe a medication for headache. Then another one next, but oh yeah, you know, I'm having like, you know, nausea now, prescribing medication for nausea. Then the next month, like, well, you know, now I'm like, you know, I'm having trouble in the bowel movements. So here's a bowel movement medication. And then the next month, literally, I witnessed this. And then, you know, the next month, it's like, you know, now I have too much bowel movements. Well, here's one to stop that. How about cut off the things that are causing those things? You got to understand that the world, if you believe all that the, you know, the systems of the world, then you must be led by the Spirit of God. And as Rick was saying, he's like, nope, not going to do that. No need for that. Who's, where is that? What is this? And he asked questions and you're like, He chose the things that are nothing to confound the wise of this world. So many of you, the people that have put you down, maybe even the home you grew up in, nobody believed you or whatever. I've had pastors say to me, what about you? Anything going to come from you? You ever going to do anything? Imagine if I led my life like, you know, I don't know if I'm going to do anything. I'm like, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to obey my pastor. And I'm going to have breakthrough. I'm going to continue praying. I'm going to continue fasting. I'm going to continue seeking the Lord. And if, you know, and if they stop having breakthrough, I'm going to continue having breakthrough. So he chose the things that are nothing. My reduce nothing to things that are, verse 29, so that no one may be able to boast in the presence of God. But it is from him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, revealing his plan of salvation and righteousness, making us acceptable to God. If you are a newborn believer, if you are a believer, you are acceptable to God. And sanctification, making us holy and setting us apart from God. Sanctification is the process of growing up spiritually. I don't struggle with pornography. I don't struggle with controlling my anger. I don't struggle, not my anger, or anger. I don't have anger. Hallelujah. I have sound mind. Come on, say with me, sound mind. My wife helped me. It blew off the lid one day. She's like, you are never going to do that again. Whoa. What are you going to do? I mean, that's what somebody proud and stupid would say. And ignorant that wants to destroy their family. And I'm like, huh. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And I learned from Pastor Daniel. He would print out scriptures and put it on the wall of his house. And when he needed breakthrough in that area, he'd go there and stare. I am the righteousness, you know, or, you know, the wrath of man is not, I printed out the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God, James 1:20. I put it on my nightstand. I put it in the outside of the shower glass. I put it in the mirror. I put it in the steering wheel of my car. I put it everywhere. So I wake up, the wrath of man. I'm in 1 Corinthians 13 right now. If I wake up and I read, and if I don't read 1 Corinthians 13 and 4, I'm not gonna walk as well in love. I wouldn't walk perfectly in love. Because when you walk in love, you are in the perfect will of God. You don't have any law to fulfill in the church. We have one law. It's the law of love. Jesus said, one commandment I give you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. When you walk in love, you're not going to steal. When you walk in love, you're not going to murder. When you walk in love, you're not going to covet. The only way you can fulfill even the Ten Commandments is by walking in love. Love is the answer. Not the love of the world, but the love of Scripture, the love of God. And he's sanctifying them, makes us holy and setting apart, and redemption providing a ransom for the penalty of sin. So then, as it is written in Scripture, he who boasts and glorifies, let him boast and glory in the Lord. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about your testimony. Begin to thank God. Like, you know, if you say, man, I'm awesome, begin to say, God is awesome. God wants us to boast. But if you boast in yourself, you're in sin. But if you boast in God, you're testifying. And prophecy, the spirit of prophecy is what? The testimony of Jesus. So if you're testifying, man, God is so good. He's done so many great things for your life. Man, you know, nice car. Yes, praise God. God gave it to me. Whoa. It's the blessing of God. Nice face. God gave it to me. It's the blessing of God. Yeah, you used to be ugly. Now you're good looking. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm looking at the speaker. It's the goodness of God. Come on, anybody else? You looked like a feral beast. And then you got saved. And you cut your hair. And you shaved that thing. And now you're like, hey, praise Jesus. And your wife loves you. And your children love you. Because you've become loving. Come on, anybody else? I'm telling you tonight, come on, stand on your feet. I want to pray for you as we close. Why is it important that we mature spiritually? Because we're called to impact this entire state. Pastor Daniel, Pastor Karen, they're amazing. And you know, I've driven to them to the airport place. And we're going to the airport. Going to a conference, going to something. And in the car, they're working. She's on the computer. He's like, you know, dictating. Or they're both like, you know, like, what do we do about this? They're like all down to the wire. Making decisions, making phone. Nobody works harder than our pastors. But as much as they can do, they cannot visit all of y'all. We cannot, and so he requires a staff, and we have an amazing staff that work equally as hard. But we cannot reach Talkeetna. We couldn't have reached Eagle River if we not left. We had not left and gone there and begin to plow. And just, we just had a life group, just a life group. That's all we had. And we did what we do here. Dr. Morocco said the Lord spoke to him in 1980 and says, instead of having weekly revivals like many others do and stopping everything that the church does, have revival in everything we do. Every life group is a revival life group. That's what we do as a church. We have revival in everything that we do. So in your life groups, you need healing, go to life group. You need a breakthrough, go to life group. Come to church, come to prayer. Learn how to pray. Hallelujah, you will learn how to have breakthrough. I've watched Pastor Daniel come into a prayer, a dead prayer meeting, and turn it around. It's like, fire! The difference between you feeling the fire of God in a breakthrough, in a prayer meeting, and not feeling the fire of God is your attitude. We're gonna go to Anchorage. On October 24, we're gonna have our first meeting there. God is gonna give us great breakthrough. God is gonna give us Anchorage. 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 Hallelujah. But we gotta grow up. You gotta grow up. We're gonna impact people. New people are gonna come in. Who's gonna train them up? Come on, say with me, I am. I'm gonna rise up. Oh, that was not as good as it can be. But how many know, because we're Christians, we know that we can improve. So come on, say with me, I'm gonna rise up.
I'm gonna rise up.
Come on, lift your hands right now. And say, Father, show me where I am in my spiritual maturity. I submit myself fully to you. Help me to become a mature believer according to the standard of Christ, not my own. I submit myself to you. Thank you for all you've done, that you've done in my life. And now help me to live out the rest of my days doing greater things for you. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's give a shout to the Lord.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you.